I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, four words which demand your full attention. Four words which demand your full and undivided attention. Now, I'm not going to keep you in suspense. I'm going to turn in the Bible and read three texts from the Scriptures which set before us these four words which demand our full attention. First of all, we're turning to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, 21. Now listen to the Scripture. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now there are two of the words right there, to live and to die. Now turn with me to Hebrews 9, 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. There's the third word. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. As it is appointed unto men, once to die, after this, the judgment. Now Matthew 25, 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's the fourth word. Eternity. So here are four words that demand your full attention, your undivided attention. Life, death, judgment, eternity. I have a life to live. It does not matter what my age, my condition, my health, my attitude, I'm alive. I may be a rich person, I'm alive. I may be a poor person, but I'm a human being, I'm alive. God has given me a life. This life has a beginning. This life has an end. I only have one life to live. I'm living that life right now. You have one life to live. You're living that life right now. One life on this earth. Secondly, I have a life to live. I have a death to die. Now, I know you mentioned death and the average person just goes to pieces. Let's don't talk about that. Let's do talk about it. I'm going to die. It may not be long. I may die tonight. I may die tomorrow. Somebody's going to die tonight. Somebody's going to die tomorrow. Every second, many people die. People die young. They die old. People die in middle life. Women die. Men die. Everybody who's ever lived has died, with the exception of two men. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. But everybody else, think of the millions and millions and millions, yea, billions of people who've lived on this earth, like you and me. People who were born, people who lived and worked, people who were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and then they died. Everybody's going to die. We have a life to live, and we have a death to die. You may as well face it. Let's talk about it. About the closest most people get to talking about death is joking about it and laughing about it and kidding about it. Well, it's no laughing matter. You're going to die. I'm speaking to somebody right now who's going to die before this week's over. You realize that? I've had several people hear me on television on Sunday morning and be dead before that day is over, before the next week is out. I preach to people all the time in the congregation for the last time. I wish I could take the time this morning to tell you how many people have heard me Sunday morning or Sunday night, and I've preached their funeral either on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And somebody listening to me is going to die today or tomorrow or sometime this week. It may be you. You've got a life to live. You've got a death to die. God says it's appointed. It's set. It's an appointment you're going to keep. It's appointed unto me and wants to die. And I'll tell you in whose hands this rests, in the hands of our God. The Scripture says man's days are appointed. The number of his months are with God. Thou hast set his bounds so that he cannot pass. The third word. Now listen to me. You have a life to live. You live it like you please. That's all right. I'm going to make some suggestions to you this morning, but you have a death to die. And you have a judgment to face. After this, the judgment. God will judge sin. The Scripture says, everyone shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God The Father judges no man. He hath committed all judgment to the Son. Almighty God is going to judge men. Read Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were all resurrected and stood before God. What a day, what an hour. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Their books of the book of life was open, and the other books were open. And men shall be judged. Every transgression shall receive a just recompense of reward. God will bring every secret thing into the open. God will bring every idle word into the judgment. God will bring everything spoken in the closet and shout it from the housetop. He will judge sin. That's what he said. God's not going to send any man to eternal condemnation without him clearly being persuaded that this is the right thing to do, that he deserves it. He's going to be convinced that he deserves what he gets. And then the fourth thing is this: I have an eternity to spend. Now the body's going to die. I have a life to live. I'm going to live on this earth. However long I live, however long I'm on this earth, the days God gives me, I'm going to live, and then I'm going to die. And the Scripture says, I shall be judged. After this, the judgment. And then the soul is going to rejoin the body. The Scripture says, the day cometh when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they all shall live. There'll be a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto damnation. There'll be a first resurrection and a second resurrection according to the Word of God. And I know a lot of men spend their time arguing about the time between those resurrections, but that's not what's important. The important thing is not how much time is between the resurrection, but which one I have part in. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. It won't matter whether God puts the second one off 1,000 years or 10 million years. I don't want any part in that thing. I want to be raised the first time, enter into the glories of our Lord. Satan is a subtle, crafty individual. He takes men's minds off of the really important things and gets them arguing about time and the tradition and custom and ceremony and prophecies and all of these things, when the important thing is, do you know Christ? And notice how closely related these four words are: life, death, judgment, and eternity. In my text, there's a comma between them. It says, to me to live is Christ, comma, to die is gain. But in reality, there's not even a comma between these words. There is no separation. It's all one continuous thing. Those who live, die. Those who die, come to the judgment. Those who come to the judgment come to eternity. Somebody said life is but death's vestibule. Nobody enters death except through life. Life is death's vestibule. And death is but the vehicle that conveys us to the judgment. And judgment is but that which separates the just from the unjust and sends men to their final destination. Eternity is the main thing. This is what it's all about. This is the final stop. This is where it all leads. Eternity. Eternity. Somebody said that this life compared to eternity is like a snowflake in a blizzard, or a drop of water in a flood, or the vestibule of a great palace hall. It's nothing. Abraham said to the rich man in hell, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Fixed. And no one can come from you to us or from us to you. Eternity. Can you imagine? No, you can't. I can't either. Eternity. On and on and on and on. Eons of time. Eternity. Millions and millions of years, and we just begin. So these are the four words that you and I need to spend a lot of time thinking about. Life, death, judgment, eternity. Now, it'd be a waste of time for us to argue this morning over the reality of these things and to try to prove that you know you're going to die. There's no need me standing here and giving you proof and logic that you're going to die. You know you're going to die. Your relatives have died. Your friends have died. Your neighbors have died. They're dying every day. How do you think the florist makes most money supplying flowers for dead people? Cemeteries, funeral homes, dot the countryside. And there's no need of our spending our time trying to establish our part in this. The old black spiritual used to go, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to go there by yourself. You got to stand the judgment trial. You got to stand there by yourself. And there's no need trying to find a way out. There's no need trying to find a way out of death. I know that we're talking today about extending man's life to 80 years and 90 years and 100 years. And some Chinese recently said man ought to live 150 years. Well, what's 150 years? Going to still die. You may prolong life to 90 or 100. You may live to be 120, but you're still going to die. And they may take you out kicking and screaming, but they're going to take you out. And they may take you out boasting of your righteousness, but they'll take you out. They may take you out boasting of your works, but they'll take you out. They may take you out trusting Christ, but one of these days, they'll take you out. You'll die. And my friends, what we need to spend our time doing this is doing this. We need to try to find, with this one life to live, a way to find happiness in this life. Try to find a happy life, a peaceful, joyful life, and to find some comfort in death, and to find deliverance from judgment. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to come to the judgment and face my sins. I don't want to hear God say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to live eternally with God. I want to find a hope for eternity. True spiritual life is what I need. I need comfort in death, deliverance from judgment, and hope for eternity. And the Apostle Paul gives us one word that holds the key to all of this. One word that holds the key to life's happiness, death's comfort, judgment's deliverance, and eternity's hope. What is that one word? To me to live. For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. That's the word right there. If Christ is your life, you have true life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. If Christ is your life, you have no fear in death. You have no death to fear. There is no sting in death. The sting of death is sin, and sin's been removed. You have no fear in death. Paul said, I really look forward to death. That's what he's saying. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith, and there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I have no fear. Really and truly, he said, I'm in a quandary. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to die and go be with Christ. While I know that to stay here is more profitable for you and for those to whom I minister, but I'd be happy to leave here, for to die is gain. If Christ is your hope, you have comfort in death, and there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. There's condemnation to those who rest on their own works, who trust their feelings or their experiences. But there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And then in Christ, we have hope for eternity. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is God's heir. If you ever inherit anything from the Father, it'll be through Christ. God has vested everything in Christ. The Scripture says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. In Christ, we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Him. God's put it in Him. Jesus Christ is the heir of God. We inherit God's blessings in Christ. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul sums it all up. He says, to me to live is Christ. Now, I know what some of you are saying. I can tell what you're saying. The businessman sitting out there and he's living in all of his wealth and plush, luxury and comfort, and he's saying, to me to live is gold. To me to live is gold. To me to live is silver. To me to live is my possessions. You've already read the paper this morning and checked on your stocks and your bonds, you know. Let me tell you what that's going to be worth someday. You wouldn't even stop on the street to pick it up if the street was covered with stocks and bonds and paper money and silver and gold. God's going to destroy it with the whole world. And the rust of your gold, the canker of your gold, the Scripture says, will stand up against you in the judgment. To me to live is gold, says the wealthy man. And then out yonder there are men who've worked all week. You get up every morning, go to work, you come home, you read the paper, you go to bed. You get up and go to work, come home, read the paper, and go to bed. You go through all these rituals. Sunday's kind of an off day, and you sit around with your feet propped up. But to you to live is to make a living. That's all you're interested in. You're interested in a 10% raise next year. You're interested in fringe benefits. You're interested in hospitalization. You're interested in this, that, and the other. You're interested in making a living, and that's all. To you to live is to make a living. And that's the end of it. And the athlete, to you to live, is fame. You want to see your name in the paper. You want to hear the crowd yell. To you to live is fame. The student, to you to live, is education and learning. That's all you're interested in. You're going to college, or you're going to get your master's degree. You're working on the books. You're reading Plato and Aristotle, and you're reading all the rest of these fellows, you know, the philosophers, and you're reading this. To you to live is learning. And to the entertainer, to you to live is fame and glory. And to the worldling, to you to live is pleasure. You're planning the pleasure that you're going to have this afternoon. You're going boating or fishing or something else. But that's what it is to you to live. The Apostle Paul comes into our midst today, and he says, to me to live is Christ. To me to live is Christ. And I imagine you're laughing about that. Maybe you are. Maybe you're laughing into scorn, and you're saying, well, answer me a question, Paul. Will your Christ give you gold? And he replies with the Apostle Peter, silver and gold have I none. Have no bank account, having no savings account, don't need it. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. David said, I'm old, I've been young, but I've never seen the seed of the Lord begging bread. My God will supply your need. He'll take care of you. I don't need silver and gold. I don't need to hoard these things. Give us daily our bread. You know what Scripture says? You know, back in the wilderness when the manna fell, they gathered it day by day. They didn't have to store it up. God was faithful every day. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. God will meet your need. Well, Paul, tell me this. Will your Christ give you a comfortable living? Perhaps. Perhaps not. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. My living comfortable wherever he is. Where Christ is, there's joy. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasures resign. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. Wherever I am, I'm content, Paul says. To me to live is Christ. If he blesses me with plenty, I'm happy. If he in his providence gives me trial and poverty, I'm happy there too. To me to live is Christ. Well, Paul, will your Christ give you respect and fame? No. He said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. They hated me before they hated you. A man's enemies shall be those of his own household. I came not to bring peace, Christ said, among men, but a sword. Men will be divided. Homes will be divided. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In this world, you'll have tribulation. I don't promise you a bed of roses, or a road paved with roses. It may be tough. And they laugh some more. And they say, well, Paul, will your Christ give you freedom from sickness? I hear preachers preach that. Freedom from death? No. All who live in Christ die. All who love Christ die. All who believe on Christ die. The Scripture says these all died in faith, but they died. Paul was sick and in prison. Epaphroditus was sick. Calvin, Spurgeon, Luther. Keep naming the great men of the past, the men who knew God. They knew times of great trial and great suffering. God doesn't promise you freedom from sickness and death. I'd be a fool to tell you that, and you'd be a fool to believe it. Our Lord said in James 5, is any sick among you, let him send for the elders of the church and let them pray for him. God does heal sickness. Then what do you have? Well, I have these four things. Let's go back to our four words again. I have life. I have comfort in death. I have deliverance from judgment. And I have eternity to spend with Christ. Now, first of all, life. Let me ask you this. What is your life? What is your life? Paul said, to me to live is Christ. My life is Christ. Christ is the source of it. Christ is the substance of it. Christ is the sanctification of it. Christ is the joy of it. Christ is the peace of it. Christ is the heart of it. Christ is not a what's your life? Well, James says in James 4, verse 14, your life is a vapor. And David in the Psalm says a vapor is a wind that passeth away. That's what your life is. It's a wind that passeth away. You go out in the yard. You're working in the garden. The wind comes up. The clouds darken. And you run in the house. And the trees begin to bend. And the corn tops bend over. And everything blows. And the weeds blow. And the leaves blow. And just a hard wind comes through. In a few moments, it's all still. The wind's gone. And it's not there anymore. That's your life. But the believer's life is not a wind. The believer's life is a person. A real living person. Who never passes away. Who never fades away. Who's always here. Omnipresent. Jesus Christ is my life. He's not a wind. The unbeliever's life is a wind that passeth away. The believer's life is Christ, the person. What is your life? Job says it's a flower to be cut down. It's blooming today. We grow flowers out at our house. We love flowers. But they don't last long, do they? You cut one, take it in the house, and put it in the water, and a few days later look at it. It's drooped over, it's dead. Throw it out. The place thereof shall know it no more. The believer's life is not a flower, it's a rock. Christ says it's a rock, a living stone, immovable, incorruptible, unchangeable, a rock. We're built on the rock, Christ Jesus. What is your life? Job 14:2, it's a shadow. A shadow? A shadow's nothing. Our life is not a shadow, it's a substance. It's real, reality. What is your life? A wind, a flower, a shadow. The believer's life is a person, a rock, substance. It's Christ. Let me ask you this. Where is your life? Where is your life? Well, you say it's right here. Here it is, preacher. It's right here. I can touch it. I can see it. Anybody can see my life. I can measure it. I can measure the length of it. I'm 75 years old, robust and healthy. Yeah, that's your life. You can see it, you can touch it, you can feel it, you can measure it. All you have is right there. That's all you have. When that's gone, you're gone. Your life's gone. Not so the believer. Listen to Colossians 3, verse 3. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid. You can't see it. This real spiritual life, you can't see it. You can see my flesh and touch my flesh and measure the length of my days. But my spiritual life in Christ, you cannot see any more than you can see Him. You cannot hear it any more than you hear Him. You cannot measure it any more than you measure the length of His life, having no beginning and no ending. It's hid with Christ in God. You can't see it, touch it, or measure it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things God's prepared for them that know Him, that love Him. But God's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. There are times I can't see it. When the temptations are violent, when the trials are heavy, when God seems to hide His face, but it's there. It's hid with Christ in God. And this denotes the secrecy of it and the safety of it and the certainty of it. My life is hid from the gaze of this world, from the knowledge of this world, from the eyes of this world. It's hid with God, with Christ in God. What a place of safety. You talk about the vaults of your bank and your security places. They're not safe places. But my life is hid with Christ in God. When will it be manifested? Let me ask you, what about your life? Your life's manifested right now. That's all you've got. You better hold to it. No wonder men fear death. When this life's over, that's it. They've got nothing else. They've got a son or a daughter, and that son or daughter dies. That's all. You know why people go to pieces when they lose a son or daughter, a wife or a husband? That's all they've got. But if you have Christ, He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's never gone. If your loved one's in Christ, He's not gone. He's just away for a while. He's not gone. Where is your life? When will it be manifested? That's all you've got right there. But the believer, listen to this. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. Oh, our life is going to be manifested. The believer's life is going to be manifested. This is not it. This is not all. We shall be revealed in the image of His Son. When we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. life. You talk about life. He that hath the Son hath life. Flesh is not life. Christ is life. And then we have comfort in death. Yes, I'm going to die. I'm going to die, and you are too. But I'll tell you, we're going to die with hope and joy and peace, because Christ said, because I live, ye shall live, and blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Blessed is the man who dies in the Lord. Death for a believer is Carnation Day. One great old preacher was on his deathbed, and someone came to see him, and they said, well, you're almost leaving the land of the living. He said, no, sir, you've got it all wrong. I'm leaving the land of the dead. I'm going to the land of the living. This is my coronation day. This is graduation. I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. We have deliverance from judgment. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, who can condemn us? Who can lay anything to our charge? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then last of all, we have eternal life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. And this life's in his Son. He that hath the Son hath eternal life. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, no more disease, no more parting. We shall forever be with the Lord. What a prospect. That's happiness. That's comfort. That's deliverance. And that, my friend, is hope. And the word, the key word, is Jesus Christ our Lord. Our substitute, our sacrifice, our sin offering.